loose ends to do here, then we're going to turn it over to Brother Andrew for some fun. We will take a break later in the afternoon, and that will lead into supper, but we'll get to those announcements later. That's just said for those here for the first time who knew Bucket Week was intense, but maybe thinking, is there going to be any end to this until 11:30 tonight? So yeah, there will be a break of some more substantial nature in a little while. There are some loose ends to talk about. While this won't completely wrap up our subject here about the Bible all the way to 2010, I'm talking about this immediate subject of the preservation of the Word and our knowing that it hasn't been corrupted and our knowing that fraud hasn't been committed on it. Now, when it comes to answering the question of Islam, and they say, well, the Bible is corrupted, what do we have that's very important with regard to that subject? Well, we have everything we talked about, but there was one thing in particular about their complaint that may not be true of somebody else's complaint that the Bible's been corrupted. What's true of their complaint that's very interesting? You have to guess what I'm thinking here because I didn't word the problem well. Right, right. The Quran was written, and it says in the Quran good things about the Injil, which is our four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they say, well, you're supposed to read these books. These are good books. They say, yes, they are, but the church has gotten along and come along and corrupted them. They have to be implying that they corrupted them after that was written. Because otherwise, why is the exhortation written to read these copies of the Gospels that were available at the time? But if you look at this timeline where the more recent times go near the bottom, I mean, it slices somewhere where there are copies that are in existence that predate that. And those have the agreement that we see throughout the New Testament scriptures. So that's something with regard to that argument. Now, someone else launching the argument, though, may say, well, somewhere along the line they were corrupted, and quite frankly, maybe it was right at the beginning they were corrupted, because remember, there had to be an original sometime, right? And then that question deserves a little bit of thought. Let's turn to two scriptures. One of them is going to be in 1 Timothy 5. First Timothy 5 and verse 18. 1 Timothy 5:18. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Let's look at that again and see what happened, okay? The scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. What is that? Where is that quoting from? Old Testament. But then it goes on to say what Scripture also says, the laborer is worthy of his wages. Where is that a quote from? New Testament. Specifically where? Luke. Yes. Now, we know from our copies of the Gospel of Luke that the Gospel of Luke was written primarily for whom? Most primarily. Most primarily for Theophilus. It was written and submitted to this person, this noble named Theophilus. And from 1 Timothy 5:18, what do we know was also done with the gospel? It was copied and spread out. When was it copied and spread out? Right, concurrent with when 1 Timothy was written and so on, right? To where Paul could quote from Luke, because he obviously had a copy, and he knew that Timothy obviously would know what he was talking about because he simply says, as the scripture says. So what does this tell us about at least the Gospel of Luke? It was not only submitted to its most primary audience, which was this person, Theophilus, but that it was written, copied, and disseminated. And what else do we know? That when it was written, copied, and disseminated, they knew it was what? Scripture. It's quoted here along the same level with the Old Testament scripture. Now look in 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3 and verse 15. Everybody there? 2 Peter 3:15. All right. Consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. What does he mean when he says the rest of the scriptures? That those epistles of Paul's are counted as scriptures too. Right? So what do we know about these epistles of Paul being referred to in verse 16? When they were written, they had a particular audience, right? The book of Galatians, for instance, right? But what else do we know about them? That while they all went to their primary audience, where did they also go? Copies were made and spread about to where various people had them. The recipients of the book of 2 Peter had them because he says, Paul has written to you. And then he says, as in also all his epistles, which apparently they're familiar with. And then he says, which untaught and unstable people twist. So who else had them? The not so great people had them. And they do it to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Meaning that not only were the copies of this epistle disseminated, when were they disseminated? Concurrent with the writing of 2 Peter anyway, and they were disseminated and also known to be inspired word of God. This all happened while the apostles were there alive, while the apostles were current. Paul was even, you know, would even be current with a lot of the copyings of his epistles. I mean, he could actually say, no, I didn't write that. Who'd committed fraud on this? Furthermore, the apostles were there. And when there were issues with regard to the gospel, as there was in Acts 15, they were able to be consulted. They were, while there was a dispersion of the Jews that we read about earlier, Brother Dan pointed out, the apostles generally stayed in Jerusalem, and they could be accessed, and people knew where to go if there was a serious matter. So there was this time period where there was a spreading of these. It did not go for two or three centuries of having an original only, and then somebody said, you know, it would be a good idea to start copying these, and they were spread about. They were spread about concurrent with the other writings of the New Testament. And when they were spread about, people knew they were inspired word of God, and in these instances that we looked at, which is extremely important. So we have these protections that were given. There were protections with regard to who got to be an apostle. That is, there were tests. And even in Revelation, we find out of a church that would put somebody to the test who said, people who said they were apostles and were not, and they put them to the test and they found out that they were liars. So there were tests given so that not anybody could just come up and say, well, I'm also an apostle, and I'm going to tell you what's inspired scripture and not, and I'm going to... No, there were tests to safeguard these things. So while the apostles were alive, while they were there to, and Paul was alive to say, hey, wait a minute, this is not right. Copies were being made, they were being disseminated, and they were being regarded even at that time as the inspired word of God. There are some who will tell you that nobody knew what the inspired word of God was until, you know, the fourth century or something like that, when a group got together and decided that they would decide what the inspired word of God was. So when we talk about the books that we have here in our New Testament and the gospel that we believe, what do we know? First of all, the gospel that was sent to Rome in the book of Romans, was that a different gospel or the same gospel that was sent to Galatia? Same gospel, isn't it? So if you say, well, wait a minute, when Rome got their letter, they corrupted it. Well, wait a minute, another one was sent to Galatia, and it's the same gospel, and the same gospel we read of in the book of John and so on. So you have these epistles of Paul. You have gospels. They're written. They're disseminated. They're seen to be the word of God, even contemporary with the time of the apostles. And the copies apparently went wide enough that people could simply refer to them like we. I might say, well, you know how it says in Acts chapter 13, so-and-so, and you'd be on the other side saying, well, yeah, of course I know what it says. I have my copy right here. In the language of Scripture, it seems that the copies were available like that, and they could refer to them one with another. So with regard to the gospel, we have books going to various places. We have the evidence of dissemination happening right away, and happening at a time when the apostles, and in fact the authors, could be alive. So you say, well, yes, Craig, I understand that when this process really gets going, and these copies are all around, I can see then how it's hard to commit fraud. But what about at the very beginning when it's things we don't really know what happened? Well, actually, we do know what happened. Lots of copies were made. They were able to be safeguarded with regard to the apostles and the authors in particular being alive. And they were widespread enough straight from the beginning. They were also regarded as inspired word of God. Now, this matter, a lot of times the Catholic Church will try to assert its authority by saying, look, you wouldn't even know what was word of God if it weren't for us. We're the ones who compiled and said these are the books of the New Testament and so on. Listen, all along Scripture, all along the way, the constant theme is God is taking our confidence away from man and putting it in himself. You think at the end he's going to say, okay, now that we've almost made it 99% of the way, you've got to put your confidence in man that they did the right thing. God wants our confidence in him. So, when somebody says, well, look, you wouldn't even know what books were part of the Bible if it weren't for our church. We're the ones that did it. Well, let me ask you this. Why do you want to know which books are part of the official New Testament? Well, one thing is it's a really good thing to know. But, all right, without saying that, why? What is it you want to know? Well, I want to know how to get to heaven. That's a very good reason to want to know what the Word of God is. I want to know, after I'm going to heaven, how I should live as a Christian. That's also an excellent reason. And, well, I want to know, when we meet as a church, what are we supposed to do? That's also an excellent reason. What of those things is lying in doubt that you need to wait for somebody else to tell you what's inspired Word of God? The things that we have evidence for within Scripture itself, that is being internally consistent with itself, that is Peter indicating that they understood at the time that Paul's epistles were inspired and understanding that Luke was inspired and the common understanding that things like the book of John would be inspired at the time it was written and so on. Where are we in doubt now that we need to go to the Catholic Church to say, oh, please tell us now because I don't know how to get to heaven unless you tell me what I'm supposed to, you know, regard as Bible and so on. Where are we lacking? We the gospel is not hinging on that. Our Christian living is not hinging on that. Our church truth is not hinging on that. So what do we need you for again? look, we can get together today, right? And say, all right, we're going to sit together as a Bucket Week 2010. We're going to determine which books we think are the right books to be in the New Testament. So we write out our list and we come out with 27 books. 200 years from now, somebody starts studying a question. How did the books get to be in our New Testament the way they are? They bring out the annals of Bucket Week that are being recorded all the time, of course. They'll be accessible on the website soon. And they look in the chronicles of Bucket Week and find out that at Bucket Week, a group got together and they determined which books were official New Testament. So all subsequent Christians owe their allegiance to what we did here at Bucket Week. Is that proper logic? I'm seeing, I don't know. Something, well, I guess it is. Yeah. No, it wasn't even in doubt beforehand. Just because we get together to decide these matters doesn't mean that we were the ones who did it. Does that make any sense? And we see straight from the time of the apostles, they knew that these books were inspired. They were disseminated at the time. People were quoting from them already and quoting from them as word of God. And so when it comes to the question of how do I know how to get to heaven? How do I know what the gospel is? How do I know what is it that I need to do to be saved? What is it that I'm relying on? Who is it that I'm relying on and putting my faith in to be saved? These matters are not being held in the balance as to whether or not a particular group came along to assert itself and to say, well, you need to regard us as your provider of the Word of God. Understand, the church did not give us the Bible. God gave the Bible to the church. Yes? All right. Anyway, well, those were some loose ends I wanted to wrap up. We may talk about some later translation things, but maybe not.
One other question. What is the website for that, or the address for that website you have, Plato's and Aristotle's?
All right, so I found it last night. I just was looking. I did type manuscript evidence or something like that. So quite frankly, I don't even know if this is any good. I mean, I might be at a heretical website, you know. If I went somewhere else, I might find out it's generated by the Jehovah's Witness, and they're interested in the manuscript evidence. All right, so this one, having said that, is carm.org. It's the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. I'm seeing nods. Good. That's, and I imagine, and .org. I imagine you can get there with a link, but if you want to do it, it's /manuscript-evidence. Yeah, evidence or the new evidence that demands a verdict, it's in there. I put testament copies. That's all I put in Google. And so it's out there. It's all right, what we're going to do is Andrew's going to come up, and we're going to have fun. I take it back. We're going to have more fun. All right.